Nay, but I would return to my lord tonight.
No, please stay.
Oh, sir, how can we let you go? You have been so faithful and so loving to us. You have fought so stoutly for us and given us such good counsel.
Please, sir, go with us to Journey's End.
I cannot.
But without a brave defender, how can such poor women as we hold out in such a dangerous way?
Please, sir, can you not come with us?
Yes, please, sir. We're so weak, and the way is so dangerous.
Ah, you are like to break my heart. For you must know by now that I have come to love thee dearly.
Then stay.
The decision is not mine to make, dear ones. If my lord give me command to accompany thee till thy journey's end, then glad shall I be to do so.
Then ask him to send you.
Such a request as that is not mine to make, dear Mercy.
Whose then?
It is thine alone. And in this matter thou hast failed greatly.
In what way?
In that when my lord assigned me to be your escort, you did not beg him to lend me to you till the end.
We did not think to do it.
Neither didst thou ask for escort when thou left the wicket gate.
Aye, we did not think of it then either.
And for our lack of thought, we came into great danger to our souls.
And now we have done it again. Oh, remember, Mercy, what the Helper did tell us?
Which?
That it is a part of God's plan to grant us, in answer to the prayer of faith, that which he would not otherwise bestow.
Ah, we are so slow to learn our lesson. Is it too late now to ask, dear Greatheart?
I know not, but for now I must withdraw. And so, good Christiana, Mercy, and my brave children, adieu.
Farewell.
Thank you, dear Greatheart.
Farewell, Master Greatheart. I pray we may meet again.
As do I. But learn this lesson in behalf of thy mother.
Which?
That not worth asking means not worth having.
I shall try.
Goodbye, Mr. Greatheart.
Fare thee well, Sonny. Be brave and let not any giants eat thee up, eh?
I won't. Bye.
Adieu.
And so he turned into the gathering darkness and was soon lost to their searching eyes.
And do tell, madam, who art thou that thou hast come this dangerous way?
I come from the city of destruction. My husband is dead. His name was Christian, and I am following now in his steps.
Christian? Christian the pilgrim?
Aye, the same. And these are his children, and this maid is one of his neighbors.
Then did the porter's face light up with joy, and he rang his bell and shouted to those within that Christian's wife and children were come on pilgrimage. Then, oh, what a glad noise there was from within.
Come in, Christiana. Come in, thou wife of that good man. Come in, thou blessed woman. Come in with all that are with thee.
And so the chief ones of the family bade them a most warm welcome, and did provide them with food from the king's table, and refreshed them. Now when they had supped, and ended their prayer with a psalm, they made ready to send them to their rest.
Excuse me?
Yes?
Might we be so bold as to request to sleep in the same room as my husband?
But of course.
And so they had them to Christian's room and laid them to rest. Now, after prayers, the boys quickly fell asleep, but Christiana and Mercy kept awake in order to share the thoughts of their hearts.
Ah, Mercy, when my dear husband first took his leave of us, if you had told me that I would one day follow him, I would have called thee mad.
Did you ever imagine that you would one day find thyself in his chamber and lying upon his very bed?
Nay, much less that I would ever hope to find joy in seeing his face again. But now I have dreams of one day feeling my husband's arm about my waist and bowing together with him to worship the great King of creation. Oh, Mercy, the thought is enough to overflow my soul with joy.
I. Hark! Do you hear?
Yes. It seems to be music. Joyful music.
For what cause?
For the joy that we are here and on our way to the house of God.
Oh, wonderful! Music in the house, music in the heart, and music also in heaven for the joy that we are here. Oh, Christiana, I love this pilgrim way, and if I should perish in one of our dangers yet to come, I will count it a privilege to die for the one who doth sing over us as he does.
So, after some more praises, they fell asleep. Now, during the night, Mercy did laugh so merrily that she awoke Christiana, who smiled and then fell asleep again. When morning came, Christiana questioned her about her dreams.
And what makes thee think I had a merry dream?
Because thou didst laugh aloud with such a hearty laugh. But pray tell, what was thy dream?
Well, I was dreaming that I sat all alone in a solitary place and was grieved over the hardness of my heart. Now I had not sat there long, but that a crowd gathered to hear what I said. When they heard that I was bemoaning my hardness of heart, some of them laughed at me and turned away. Others called me a fool and bade me enjoy my life. Others began to taunt me with words and sticks.
My! Then what?
Then I looked up and saw one with wings coming towards me and saying,
Mercy, what troubleth thee?
Ah, sir, 'tis over the hardness of my heart that I am in this grief.
Ah.
Then he smiled lovingly upon me and said,
Tears may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Peace be unto thee.
Ah, but I am of such a hard heart and such a wicked one.
This is not how God the Father doth see thee.
How then?
He sees not in thee the vileness of the sinner, but rather the perfect likeness of his Son, in whom thou dost believe.
Then he wiped my tears with his handkerchief, and clad me in clothes of silver and gold with a beautiful crown on my head. Then he took me by the hand and said,
Mercy, come after me.
So he carried me up to a throne upon which one sat, and he said to me,
Welcome, daughter.
Who was it?
'Twas Jesus himself. There was a green rainbow over his head, and on either side were the covering cherubs with their great wings. On four sides of him were the four beautiful beasts that surround the throne, and around them the 24 elders. Also the place itself was all bright and glowing brighter than the sun. But what made me to laugh was that I thought I saw your husband there.
My husband?
Aye. He did address me thus.
Mercy?
Yes?
Art thou that Mercy that did accompany Christiana to this place?
Aye, sir.
And where is she?
She is sleeping at the porter's house in thy bed.
Yea? Has she got so far already?
Aye, sir. She is a true pilgrim, well worthy of the name.
Then she will soon be here.
Aye, sir. I trow sooner than thou think.
Do you think she shall be glad to see me?
Oh, yes. More glad than you can imagine. Her thoughts and words are all the day long about seeing her Lord and thee here in this place.
Oh, joy! She is coming! Oh, joy! Joy! Joy!
Then did your husband sing?
Christiana is coming!
And dance with such vigor and joy?
Finally! Oh!
That even the one on the throne could not forbear from laughing.
She is coming! Oh, joy! Joy! Joy!
And I with him.
Oh, the dear man! May God speed my way home.
As I believe he shall.
Ah, God hath sent thee a good dream to cheer us on our way.
Aye, and I hope ere long to be there when you come into his presence. Oh, to see the smile on the king's face again, and to see your husband dance his jig for the joy of seeing you.
My, my indeed. Well, we must be up and about our day. The boys are doubtless wandering about the orchards and gardens.
Christiana, if they perchance invite us to stay a few days, let us accept. I love to look upon the beauty of prudence, piety, and charity, and would love to know them better.
So we shall.
Then they prepared themselves and came down to breakfast, where they found all in readiness.
Good morning.
Good morning, Prudence.
Did you sleep well?
Oh, yes. I think it was the happiest night's sleep that I have ever slept.
Good. Will you be able to stay here for a time?
If you can, we shall share our best with you.
And teach you things such as we shared with your husband.
Oh, we would love to stay. This place seems almost next door to heaven.
They continued in that place for a month or so. During that time, they were of great blessing each to the other, and the joy of them all grew greatly. Now there came a day when the maids asked permission to question the boys about what they believed. Prudence began with the youngest.
Do tell, James. Canst thou tell me who made thee?
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Good boy. And canst thou tell me who saves you?
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Good boy still. But how doth God the Father save thee?
By his grace.
How doth God the Son save thee?
By his righteousness, death, blood, and life.
And how doth God the Holy Ghost save thee?
By shining truth into our minds, by giving us a new heart, and by protecting us.
Well, Christiana, thou hast done well in instructing these children. It doth seem that when thy Lord shall ask thee about thy little flock, thou wilt be able to give him a good answer.
I have hoped to see them all in the kingdom. Indeed, if even one were missing, I know not how I could enjoy it.
Joseph?
Yes'm?
Tell me, what is man?
A creature made by God in the image of God.
In what way?
In that he hath a mind wherewith to think.
What is man saved from?
From a life of captivity and misery.
Since it takes all of the efforts of the Trinity to save us, what does that tell us about sin?
That it is so great and mighty a tyrant that none can pull us out of its jaws but God.
How doth he pull us out?
By the giving of a new heart.
And where does this new heart come from?
It is an act of creation.
And how much of an act?
As much an act as the creation of the world.
And how is it created?
By the spoken word of God.
And our part?
To believe that what the Word of God says, it is well able to do.
Why doth God desire to save us?
For happiness.
Whose happiness?
Ours in being saved, and his in having us as his children for eternity.
And who shall be saved?
Any who believe that the Word of God can create a new heart within them, and who accept that new heart.
My, Christiana, thou hast indeed taught these boys well.
Samuel?
Ma'am?
What is heaven?
A place and state most blessed.
Why blessed?
Because God is there.
What is hell?
A place and state most woeful.
Why?
Because God is not there, but instead sin, the devil, and the second death.
Why wouldst thou go to heaven?
That I may see Christ and serve him with joy greater than I can know here. And...
Go on.
I want to see my father.
Oh, a good lad you are.
Matthew?
Ma'am?
What was before God?
Nothing, for God is eternal, and until his first act of creation, there was nothing but God.
How doth he create?
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He spake, and they stood fast.
And an example?
In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is.
And on the seventh?
He did rest.
From weariness?
No, ma'am. From satisfaction over a job well done.
And what is the Sabbath to God?
A day to remember his people.
And to his people?
A day to remember their God.
For how long?
For eternity.
Can you give me a text?
Aye. In Isaiah, the 66th chapter, it saith about those in heaven that, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord.
What is the Bible?
The Holy Word of God.
Is there anything written therein that you cannot understand?
Aye.
And what do such things make you think?
That God is wiser than I. Also, that I must pray for understanding of those things which are needful for my salvation.
And are the things needful for salvation difficult to understand?
Nay, but simple enough for a little child.
Like me.
Like him.
Tell me about the resurrection.
I believe we shall rise in the same nature that we were buried in, except that we shall be glorified with a body like unto that of Christ.
Why do you believe it?
For two reasons. First, God hath promised it, and second, he is well able to do it.
Well answered, all of you.
Aye.
Indeed, but these things are but the milk of the word. Listen well to your mother, that she may begin to feed you on solid food.
Be slow to speak, and quick to hear any conversation wherein you hear wisdom being taught.
Also, seek to learn from the book of nature, for the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God.
We shall, ma'am.
But most of all, read and think much of God's word. For here alone doth God speak directly to thy heart.
Now after the pilgrims had been at this place a week or so, it was noised abroad that there was a fair maiden lodged at the house of the porter. So there came a young man named Mr. Brisk to visit with Mercy. Now after his first visit, Mercy questioned Prudence thus.
This Mr. Brisk, who is he?
Oh, a well-bred gentleman.
In whose eyes?
Mostly his own.
And do you believe it?
Oh, I think it probably be true, as this world values breeding.
He talked like one who professed religion.
I profess it he doth quite well.
You smile. Is that all he does?
Well, he hath none of the fruits of one that doth believe it in verity. Therefore I have not encouraged his attentions towards me.
Yes. He seemeth to be stuck fast to this life. Therefore, I am wondering how to discourage him.
'Tis easy.
Oh, that I know right well, having discouraged many a one before him. But now that I am a pilgrim, I wish not to wound his heart or offend him.
There is no need of that at all.
What then?
Simply continue on as you have. Keep on acting out your name.
You mean continue making hose and garments for the poor and needy?
Aye.
What will that do?
Why, when he sees that you prefer walking out a pilgrim's life over just talking of it, he will see that there is no possibility of getting any profit from a union with you.
And then?
He will withdraw all attentions from you. In fact, he will be likely to badmouth you to others when he sees that your ways are too high for him.
Well, that is certainly easy enough. I shall continue simply to be me.
A safe course for any pilgrim girl.
So, the next time he comes, he finds her at her work of making garments for the poor and gathering food for those who cannot gather for themselves.
Well, Mercy! Say, aren't you doing the very same thing you were last time I saw you?
Yes, I hope so.
My, what fine clothes.
Thank you.
And you made these yourself?
Aye, sir.
Well, these are extraordinarily fine garments.
Thank you, sir.
And where did you learn to sew so finely?
From my father.
Ah, he's a tailor then.
Yes. The robes he weaves are the most highly desired in all the world.
Indeed. Well, you certainly have inherited his skills, to be sure. My. Tell me, dear Mercy, what can you earn in a day? A pretty penny, I'll wager, eh?
And a pretty penny for he who marries her as well.
Actually, my robes are not for sale.
Not for sale? Where do they go, then?
To those that need them.
Ah, of course. To dukes and princes, no doubt.
No, to the poor and naked.
What? They have no money to give thee?
No.
Why, who pays thee for thy labors, then?
My father.
Indeed. Is he a philanthropist as well?
Among other things, yes.
How much does he pay?
I don't know.
Don't know?
No, sir. I only know that I am building up credit in an account that I hope to draw upon someday soon.
You mean that you have not yet got any cash in hand?
Not yet.
How long have you been at this?
All my life.
What? Are you sure your father is honest?
Oh, yes. I have hung my life upon it.
When did you say you intend to collect your dues?
I know not exactly. Just when I need them most.
Well, Brisk, my lad, 'Tis plain as the long nose on thy face that there is no gain to be made here. A woman so poor in business as this one will be no gain to thee. Therefore, excuse thyself and look for greener grass.
Well, I'm very glad to have made your acquaintance, Miss Mercy. I do hope all works out well between thee and thy father. I would like to stay longer, but I remember some rather pressing business that calls for my, immediate attention. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Oh, hello there, dear Prudence.
And a good day to you, Mr. Brisk. Did you find Mercy to be one to your liking?
Oh, she is a nice enough girl, pretty and all that. But, just between me and thee, she hath not both oars in the water.
Beg your pardon?
She's not dealing from a full deck of cards.
What?
She's missing a screw.
Sorry, but...
In plain English, Miss Prudence, she seems to be ever so slightly mad. Therefore, I doubt that thou shalt see much of me henceforth. Farewell.
Oh, farewell then.
Did I not tell thee that Mr. Brisk would soon forsake thee?
It was just as you said.
Yea, he is not only gone, but will raise up an ill report of thee.
What? But is he not a religious man?
He pretends it, and has also spoken loudly of his love of Mercy. But in reality, he and Mercy are of such different hearts that they will never come so close again.
Well, if he will not share his riches with those needy ones whom the Lord puts in his path, then he is a stranger to both me and the love of God.
Does it make you sad to lose such a good prospect at marriage?
Me? Oh, no. I have had many a man show an interest in me, but when they saw that I could not be stopped from giving to the poor, they soon grew discouraged and fell away.
Ah, then to lose Mr. Brisk was nothing new to you.
Nay, and if no one will agree to help me and live his life in service for others, then I must die a maid.
And that does not make thee sad?
Oh, no. My work brings my joy. Besides, God himself hath promised to be my husband, and hath said that at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Therefore, until I find one who is as I am, I will be content to abide alone. Besides, to join myself to an enemy of God would be to create a home where the shadows are never lifted.
Thou speakest with wisdom.
'Tis born of observation, I assure you.
And hast thou considered thy traveling companion, Matthew?
Aye. For a time I thought we might marry before we came to the end of pilgrimage, but...
But what?
I don't know for sure. He seems to be a good man and to know the theory of religion well enough, but he seems to have somewhere lost his courage and strength. He seems all too willing for rest, for detours, and for watching others fight his battles for him. Yea, frankly, I'm concerned for his salvation.
Hmm.